Hello guys, welcome back. This is Derek Mugirwa on the RDM radio show, and I'm with the rabbi. So last time we were here, we talked about, you know, of course, the pre-existence, you know, where were we before we came to the earth, but we were coming at it from a broader perspective, like understanding the three-phase design of what it is, you know, the fact that we existed before we came into this earth as human beings, and then we have this life as human beings, and then we also have a life after that, and connecting the three, you know, what kind of influence does each stage have on the other? So we are going deeper into this whole discussion, and please, if you have questions, just share them in the comment sections, and then we'll surely talk about them. So, yeah, let's get into it with the rabbi.
Thank you, Derek. It's good to be back after the last session that we had.
Yeah.
Now, just a recap. So, we said the last time that there is an avatar self.
Yes.
Which is the body. And that there is an original self.
Yeah.
Which is in a dwelling place
in God.
In God.
Psalms 90, verse 1.
Okay, and remember when God asks Job, where were you before the foundation of the earth? Mm. That is the answer.
Mm. yes. Mm? Nice. Mm.
From generation to generation, Moses says,
yeah.
You are our dwelling. He says yes. Our, he includes himself.
Yes.
Okay, that's Psalm 90 verse 1.
Yes.
Now, we also explained that there was a predestination that existed in the realm of the spirit by God and his wisdom concerning the works of men and the things men are supposed to do here on earth.
Yeah. In the volume of the book it is written.
It talks about Jesus in Hebrews. Yeah. But also books are written about us.
Yes.
And it's important we understand, and you remind me, we're going to have to touch books. Eh?
Yes.
Just briefly. That there are things that are predestined, we said last time. But also, we have choice the moment we enter the realm of men.
Yeah.
Okay?
Free will.
We have free will.
Yes.
Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 22.
All right. So, Acts chapter 7, verse 22.
Mm.
It reads, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full, 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong..."
You can stop there. I just wanted the first part. Read it again.
Okay. Verse 22 says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds."
That's right. So Moses was mighty in words... And indeed.
Yes.
So I want you to understand that the original self has everything God has deposited for the purpose here on earth. Okay?
Yeah.
Everything. It's strange that scripture says he was mighty in word and deed, and yet when God was calling him, he could not talk.
True. Stammer.
I want you to understand
that
the avatar has a weakness, but the original self has the purpose. That means you're always capable.
Oh, yes.
Of superseding your weakness. And this is where this is so powerful.
True.
It says he was mighty in word and deed.
Very, very nice.
Yes. So everything is deposited in your original self, and God comes to remind you of that is in your original self. Mm. And if what is in spirit seeps into your avatar, then it overcomes the weakness.
Oh, yes.
This is why weakness will never be an excuse before God. the weakness of the avatar will never be an excuse before God. The Bible says he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness.
True. Yes, yes, yes.
So everything is in the original self. Now this thing is so important for us to understand it. Okay, let me break it down. The Bible says in John that in him was the life, and that life was the light of men. I've told people on several occasions that in the realm of men, blood contributes to our life. The scripture says the life of every creature is in the blood.
Yes.
But when you die and leave this earth, you don't need blood. Your life is light.
Nice. That's why Jesus comes back in his new form and he's like, check and see. He does not talk of blood. He talks of flesh and bone. Yeah.
Then it says, in him was the life, and that life was the light
of all men.
Are you with me? Now, there is no man that comes on this earth that does not love light. The Bible says the spirit of a man, small spirit, is the candle of the Lord. So every man has some semblance of light within them. Actually, it's called bioluminescence, that we carry heat. We have a fire inside of us as human beings. Every human being has some form of light.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why that's important is because you came from the other world with light. That light was the life of men. That is Christ.
Okay.
When you came from that world, if you die before you're born, or if you die before the age of consent, you qualify to go back to God. Because that light has not been extinguished. Because there was an inherent light that is the life of men.
Okay.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why children cannot go to hell.
Okay. Because they still have the light.
Yeah. That's still that light. They've come from a place of light.
Yeah.
That light is inherent. If you abort a child, it goes back to the maker.
Okay.
If the child dies before the age of consent, where they have the right to choose between right and wrong, that light is still there. God, by his wisdom, declares that child is on. Even the devil, there's nowhere. Anyway, people who tell you that the devil is busy declaring and standing there as an advocate accusing children, he doesn't. It's not anywhere.
Yeah.
True. In Zechariah, they're taking off filthy rags of a full-grown man.
Yeah. Joshua.
All right?
Yes.
So, there's that light in a child that qualifies every man to enter this world, but also qualifies them to receive the Spirit of God. Okay?
Yeah.
One day I'll explain to you how there are beings on this earth that also have the likeness of flesh, but don't qualify to be men. And so they can't get born again.
Okay. When it says that in your light we see light, is that in relation to this?
You can attach it, but it has very many dimensions, that scripture.
Okay.
But Jesus died for men.
Not any other creature. Yeah.
Okay? Now, it's important. He died for men, but what he did affects, because it affects men, it affects all of creation. Because when men fell, they affected.
Creation fell with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But animals do not get saved the way we do. Though all creation groans for the manifestations of the sons of God.
Yeah.
There's a form of salvation they get by restoration.
Yes.
Huh?
Man's restoration.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Jesus came to die for men, not for animals, not for trees.
True.
Okay? Now, that life that he has, that a child, when they die, they go back to that original self. Okay, that's stage one. The next thing that is important is when a person, so the first stage is if a person is sent and they're either aborted or they die before they have consent, they go back.
Okay.
The second stage is if a person is walking on the face of this earth and they give their life to Jesus.
Okay.
I want you to understand that you have your original self that is before God. Okay? when you walk this earth, it is appointed that at a certain stage, because of sin on the earth, you give your life to Christ.
Mm.
When you give your life to Christ, you now qualify to have access to the things in your spirit man that are meant for you. Before that, you do not have access to things pertaining to life and godliness. Scripture says, it says you have a form of godliness but denying this its power.
There. Yeah.
That has twofold. One, it can refer to people who act godly.
Yeah, just religion. Eh?
It's just religion, but they're denying the power. That power is the Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just power of healing and what, it's the power of change.
Okay.
Because change is a power.
True.
Transformation is a power.
Yes.
Okay? So you can have a form of godliness but deny its power. That's why there are many religions on this earth. People can be good, but they can deny the power thereof. Which is more, and they can operate in power, but they're denying the power that is the spirit of transformation, and also gives you access to that is in your original self.
Okay.
That means the book, walking according to the purposes ordained by God.
Okay.
That's what salvation does. So your soul is saved. Okay? Your body at a certain point will be saved. Your spirit is renewed. The Spirit of God then dwells in your Holy Spirit. The connection with your original self is empowered.
Yeah, reestablished.
Reestablished. When it's established, now in phases, you start to get the inklings of that you are agreed on before you came.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now you start walking in purpose.
Okay.
Eh? Not yours. His.
His purpose.
Bible says we're called according to his good purpose.
Yeah.
Okay? Now. There is a power that is given. Now suddenly, that is in the original self energizes the avatar. I want you to understand this. This is so important. Yeah. It energizes the avatar. When you pray, an energy is released. Okay?
Yeah.
When you're healing, an energy is released. It's a different kind of energy from someone who's trying to heal from a soulish perspective. Because this one is supposed to make whole.
Okay. Okay.
Okay? That's why, you know, the devil can provide so many things. The Bible says, God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. There's a wealth, but with it attached sorrow.
Yeah.
When a demonic world does something, it attaches the nature of that demon.
Oh, yes.
Okay? But here you're picking something from the original self. You're energized to do particular things. This is where now the things come that only a Christian can walk into. It says joy unspeakable and full of glory. That connection allows that. It says a peace that surpasses understanding.
Yes.
That connection allows that. So this is now the power that a Christian has received. There's that connection with the original self. Now, there are things seeping in from that man, that original man, that come into your avatar self that enable you, based on your walk with God, and your seeking to connect to certain things. It's why a man now can be able to prophetically see the future. It's now why a man can be able to go to heaven and come back.
Yes.
Okay? Before you gave your life to Christ, you were in a dwelling place of God. But it's not the same when you give your life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, you are now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And I really need to distinguish those two. Because the other one, you're not seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're in a dwelling place of God.
Yeah.
You give your life to Christ, you are now seated in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. There's an empowerment to be fruitful, to multiply, dominate, and subdue. You have now taken on the position of royalty, which you did not have before. You have now, the Bible says, adoption. We have received adoptions as sons. Okay? You're not just a child of God. you've received adoption as sons through Christ Jesus. Now, so that energy and those things flow from the original. Now, the choices a man makes here on earth also affect the original self.
Mm. That's a more interesting part.
Okay, so I'm getting that. What happens when a man, because I've talked about children, I've talked about someone who gives their life to Christ, and I need to talk about someone, the third stage, someone who gives their life to Christ but does not walk purpose. This is so important. So you remember the three stages?
Yes.
I've talked about the child, I've talked about the guy who gives his life to Christ but specifically walks in purpose.
Yes.
Then the person who maybe is on a deathbed, I give my life to Jesus, dies and did not walk in purpose. Please understand that he has entered the permissible. So he has done the minimum. But the reason for coming on earth was not to give your life to Christ only. There was a book and things that were written. And so, there's a name he does not receive. There's a crown he does not receive. Okay? Actually, what happens is that it would be like he never came. Now, this
wow.
is so important. The only change that will be in him is that now his unformed self has a face.
That seems like a very low reward. After all this, you go back just to receive a face. No.
Because you see what I'm telling you is that we have a purpose and a destiny as to the reason as to why we're here.
Yeah.
And it plays into the future.
Yeah.
So a spirit who never came on earth, you're exactly the same if you came on earth and did not do what was meant for you. There's no difference between the two.
You just have a form, that's all.
Yes. You can do what I'm saying.
Rabbi, about this angel with the turning sword, you know, at the Garden of Eden. Does this mean access back into the garden when you're talking of the reconciliation with your heavenly self to be re-energized?
You know, Jesus gave us that way. He becomes the way into that.
Okay.
And now the garden is deeper than just a realm.
Yes.
It's, you know, Jesus is three things. He's a person, he's a place, and he is a garment.
Okay.
Because scripture says, okay, the Christ, the person, we know. The Bible says, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Then somewhere in Galatians, Paul says, put on Christ.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there are different dimensions of the Christ. And he is, in essence, the garden. He was the tree of life. He was the purpose for the garden.
Yeah.
He's the tree of life. He's the way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, I want to, because you're sidetracking me a bit,
I'll keep them.
What?
Trying to hold back.
Okay. So I've explained what happens if you walk this earth, but
you don't fulfill purpose. Walk now, purpose.
There is then the person who does not give
his life to Christ.
Now this is where the issue of the soul and the spirit comes in. This is where you need to understand that. And there's a mystery here that I'm still believing on God to explain to me.
Okay.
Animals have souls,
yep.
according to scripture. Everything that has a form of life that God created has a soul of a kind.
Yes.
You know, trees have emotions. You can mistreat a tree and it responds to how you've treated it.
True.
You can speak to it. Water. Water has emotion.
Yes.
It's different from ours, but has emotion. That means these things carry a soul of sorts.
Yeah. They're conscious.
Yeah. That's powerful. Now, man has a spirit and soul, and the two are distinct. In that the spirit came from God, but the soul is created. It is birthed. when spirit and body join together.
Yeah.
The soul is the distinction of your identity. It's what distinguishes you from your fellow believer or human being.
Mm-hmm. It's your signature.
It's your signature. Yeah. Okay? But everything is deposited in your spirit. Okay? The spirit came from God. And because it has a portion of God, okay? The spirit doesn't go to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is very, very important. People understand. The spirit of a man doesn't go to hell. And we're going to talk about this. Eh? Jesus said, what does it
profit a man
to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Lose his soul.
Hey.
Now, this is so, so important, because when a man walks on this earth, and just like you've been faithful on earth, you get to know God, you grow in God, there's an upgrade in your spirit man.
Yeah.
There is an effect on the spirit man when a man walks into realms of darkness. Okay?
Okay.
There's an effect on the original man.
Mm.
Now, I want you to understand this. This is where the mystery lies. Eh? That when that man dies, his soul goes to a destination, a prison, we call Hades.
Yeah.
Lake of fire is a different thing, and we'll talk about that when we talk about life after death.
Okay.
His soul goes to a particular direction. All right? What makes hell hell is the absence of the feeling of the presence of God, not the absence of God.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
What makes man conscious of the presence of God is the spirit of man. He says, I have put eternity in man. That is the spirit of man. Mm. Remove that spirit.
Mm.
Even if God is there.
Mm. He wouldn't know.
Now, this is...
yeah.
And that's what's making hell, hell.
Yeah.
Because as long as you can sense God,
there's a certain comfort.
There's hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've gone into some very deep things.
Yeah.
Okay? So the soul of a man then is sent to damnation. But the spirit side of man, the original man, this is where the mystery is.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to God, but the scripture is silent on what happens to it. Because it's still part of you.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm.
It's silent on what happens to it. Mm. And we shall only know when judgments now have been what?
Given out. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to presume what happens to that spirit man.
Hey. Hey. That's a deep one, right?
No, it's ask because
The question now is essentially, who are you? You know, because we know that you are the spirit, right? You have a soul.
Mm.
You have a body. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and still lose his soul? There are some things you can lose, but that means that's not the core of who you are. So for you to lose your soul, and your soul is in torment, and your spirit has been reconciled to God, and you know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, you, where are you?
Yeah, and that's this is where the mystery is in terms of the non-believer. Because I'll show you later that God doesn't send anyone to hell.
Oh, yes.
There is no one on the face of this earth who has lived on this earth that has been sent to hell by God.
Mm.
And we'll talk about, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Mm. There are factors that I would want to touch that relate to, should I say this? The power of the tongue.
Okay.
We do not understand the depth of the tongue concerning eternity. Okay. Let me give you a glimpse. The scripture says in the parable, Luke 16. It says, this is Lazarus and the rich man.
The rich man.
Now, here's the thing. The man is in hell.
Yeah.
What does he say? If you could read it out. Start from verse 19.
There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Okay, now, I need you to, when we're going ahead of ourselves, but I need all you right. to see this. Eh?
Yeah.
If he's burning in complete fire, why does he want his tongue to be quenched? And this is what people don't seem to realize.
Wow.
If you're burning, if your whole body is burning,
why not ask for water for the whole body? Why the tongue?
Hey.
Like James says that the tongue is a small member and yet directs the whole body.
Yes, actually, if you read that scripture in James, it says it. Actually, you read it. We're going ahead of ourselves. Eh? We're touching life after death, but you've instigated me a bit.
Okay, this is, I believe, James 3.
James 3. Read the previous scripture.
Okay. From verse 4.
Mm.
It says, behold, also ships, which, though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listeth.
Mm.
Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members.
And that's the scripture there that we'll touch. It says the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity.
Yeah.
As it says. Oh. So I'm linking it to why he was saying, quench this tongue. And he says, I'm in a flame. I'll explain.
Nice.
We're going ahead of ourselves. Yep. Okay. But I'm trying to show you now that there's a lot to these things that we don't seem to be taking into consideration.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. People think that hell is fire. So the question is it dark or is it fiery? Can it be both? We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So, now.
Yeah.
Now, the scripture says, it talks about, I told you that the books that are written, and we come to follow assignments that are written in that book. When a person does not do an assignment or they do not give their life to the Christ, the assignment is taken and given to someone else.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. And I've mentioned this a lot of times in scripture. The Bible says that Saul was given one direction, King Saul. Kill all the Amalekites. King Saul decides to leave one king alive, the king called Agag.
Yeah.
God gets angry and takes Saul from the kingship, and he installs David.
True.
Generations later, the descendant of King Agag is called Haman the Agagite. So because he failed, Saul failed in his assignment. His descendants, who are Esther and the rest, suffer from a descendant of King Agag.
Yeah.
All right? But Esther is also, the Bible says, she's from Kish. She's a Benjamin. Mm. So she's a direct descendant of King Saul. So the two
have to meet again.
They meet again, and the assignment has to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
So Haman and the entire Agagites are wiped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I know what you're getting.
Yes.
So the assignments are given to others when someone
does not fulfill it. Yeah.
And then more reward is given to the one to whom it has been given.
Okay.
That is so important. Now, in the books that are written, this is the thing. No one comes onto this earth and their name is not in the book of life.
Oh, yes.
No one. Mm. Everyone born human. Mm. Remember? In him was the light, and the light was the life of men.
Yes.
So everyone comes onto this earth and their name is in the book of life.
Yeah.
Which is a book of salvation. Now, you are blotted from the book of life. You're not written into it.
Yes.
Mm. Okay?
Mm.
So you come when you're already in it. That's why. Now let me give you a scriptures. Psalm 69 verse 28.
Psalms 69 and verse 28. It reads, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous."
Okay? So you're written with the righteous, then you're blotted out of the book of the living.
Of the living.
Exodus 3, 32 verse 33.
Exodus 3?
Exodus 32 verse 33, sorry.
Exodus 32 verse 3. It says...
33.
32 verse 33.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of the book of my... Him will I blot out of my book." Yeah.
So you see?
Yeah.
So God is talking about blotting out of the book. Yeah. So the people are already in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Revelation 3:5.
It reads, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life."
Yes. So everyone starts in that book.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay.
And then they're removed from it. There are people who try to use that scripture saying that you can get born again, then you're no longer born again.
Mm.
You understand? Eh? Because you are in the book of life, then you're removed. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying you came into this earth with God desired no one to go to hell. And so then you're blotted out of that book.
True. So it's like a prophecy. Just like you said, you come with many things, instructions and missions given to you, and they're all recorded on the inside of you.
Mm.
You know, as it is given to, you know, all things pertaining to life and godliness are on the inside of you. But it's still yet left for you to fulfill. So someone may not actually come to that place of giving their lives to Christ. So the name is blotted out.
And we need to make it clear that giving life to Christ happens in different dimensions and different ways.
Yeah.
The most common that the church has fostered is the one in Romans that says,
confess.
If you can confess with your mouth.
Yeah. You believe in your heart, then confess with your mouth.
Then shall you be saved. Yeah. And so we say, repeat after me. Mm. Okay? But God has many ways of saving people.
Yeah.
In scripture, he says, "Call unto me and you shall be saved."
Yeah.
Okay? Someone will be alone in a room somewhere. There are people, before they die, they call on the name of God. And God only knows the posture of their heart.
Mm.
There are many people that have gotten born again at a, like the thief.
Yeah, at the cross.
At the cross. Okay?
Says, "Remember me in paradise."
Yeah. Now, let me tell you this. No man can walk in perfect will if they're not connected to Christ, no matter what good they've done. I remember I had I was invited for a conference somewhere, and I was teaching on purpose. And I said, if Nelson Mandela did not give his life to Christ, no matter how great he was on this earth, he did not fulfill God's purpose for his life. And a person stood up. Nelson Mandela? Nelson Mandela, do you know what he did? Do you know what he did? Do you know how great Nelson Mandela is? And that's how we get deceived.
Yeah, true.
Because the righteousness of men is like filthy rugs.
That's true. You mentioned last time we were here that even Jesus could have been the best doctor there is.
Yes.
And he wouldn't have fulfilled purpose. Yeah.
That's the thing. And do you know the scary thing about this life? You can pursue something and be successful in it and not be where God wants you to be. That's the scary part. That's the scary. So all those things, you know, wood, hay, stubble?
Yeah. Tested by fire.
Yeah, they're tested by fire and burnt up, not because of how great they were, but because do they match up with the purpose and the book? And so what happens is that your spirit, as you walk with God, that original self begins to impart parts of those things that you knew before you came to your avatar man. So you will have dreams. Dreams of going somewhere in the future. You will have deja vus. And that link between the original self and the avatar gets stronger the closer the relationship is with God.
Yeah.
Because he is the third cord. Says the threefold cord cannot easily be broken.
Yeah, true. True.
Okay? Yeah. So now, how does a man strengthen those that bond? One, the art of meditation, and we'll have to have a different session on that another day.
Yeah.
The art of meditation strengthens the connection between the original man and the avatar self.
The avatar. Yeah.
Now please understand that there are a lot of people out there, the religions and what, that have their own form of meditation. Okay? That connects them to a portion of the original man, but not the perfect will of what is in the original man.
Okay.
The mind of God concerning a particular thing. And so they will enhance their abilities beyond the natural. But they will miss the core, the heart of God concerning a thing.
Okay.
So right now, even as we speak, you and I are here. We're here in a room, but we're also simultaneously seated in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. Which is your original self. I was telling someone the other day that Jesus is referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay? When people look at that part of scripture, in their mind, they think it's just referring to the kings of the earth. That's one dimension.
Okay.
To some others, they get a revelation that is referring to the kings they are referred to as the Christians. So Jesus is the King of Kings. But you must understand that they're dignitaries in the spirit, both divine and dark.
Oh yeah.
Understand, eh? And he's the prince spirit, the kingly spirit.
True.
And so he's the king over anything that takes any shape or form of rulership.
All principalities and powers.
Yes.
Still answer to him.
Now, people do not understand the depth of when we talk about royalty, when he says you're a royal priesthood, you'll only understand it when we connect to the other, when you transition. Yeah. That when you die and leave this earth, you will understand what it means. Hopefully you don't have to die and leave this earth, but you'll understand what it means to be royalty.
Yeah.
That if you understood the kingly spirits, divine and demonic, that carry crowns, robes and rings, and the authority that they have, and the fact that you're in Christ Jesus and you're above them. If you understand, right now you might know it theoretically, but when you see, that's when you'll know how powerful what Jesus did was. Because there are many realms in the spirit. The Bible says, Paul says he was taken up to the third heaven.
Yeah.
And being taken up to the third heaven could mean there are three heavens, or it could mean he was just taken to the third one. And that there are seven, there are other levels, eight, nine. Now, the Bible says Jesus made a public spectacle of principalities. Then it says he has been set far above
all powers and principalities.
Yeah. Okay? Now, what he did for us is when you give your life to Christ, he takes you above all those levels. All of them. and sets you far above, and you sit with him.
Wow.
Now, if you just meditated on just that, even leave the other scriptures, just that I'm seated in heavenly places, that Christ is up there, far above all principalities and powers, the authority that you grow, the light that you carry, will begin to magnify, because the connection you have to your original self now begins to strengthen based on your understanding of your identity in Christ Jesus.
Power.
Okay?
Yeah. So there is you remembering to the original self, but then there is you also, you know, coming or becoming acquainted with your, the version of you that's seated in Christ in heavenly places.
And you see, it's a very big mystery, a very big mystery, that there are times when you dream and you see yourself coming to yourself, and they're actually two different yous, but yet it's still you.
Wow.
Okay, any questions before we close on this? Next time, I would want us to go into, I don't know if are there any outstanding questions concerning life before birth?
Life before birth. Oh, yes. There's a question we touched on the last session we had. That was as regards to choice. You choosing the family that you're born in. And how that plays into this life. Yeah.
I don't think... There's nowhere in scripture that gives us the implication that we have the choice of the details. I think we have a choice to come.
Yeah.
But every detail is written in a book.
Okay. Just like God, like just like you can't choose your talents or whatever.
Yes. You can't.
God just gives you and you have to be faithful with what he has given you.
That's it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, so a quick summary. There's an original self.
Yes.
There's an avatar self. What happens to the avatar is drawn from the original self. Do you know that someone, just like someone is seated in heavenly places, someone can be seated in dark places?
Wow. Yeah. I'd never thought about that.
I can. You know, people don't think it's just because there's someone who says it, because the Bible doesn't say it.
Yeah.
You see, I've met people.
Would that mean that they have to also, in, you know, the way we are joined to Christ, they would now have to be joined to...
To the enemy.
Devil. Yeah.
That's what you call selling your soul.
So the devil is ruling also with some human being.
Yes.
His kingdom is functioning. Rulership.
His kingdom functions here on earth because of men. Oh, if all men said we're not going to be used, he would have no power.
True, true.
Because first of all, even the original power he took from Adam was taken by Christ.
Yeah.
So he's only using the inherent power given to him by men. So men are the problem. Not the devil.
He's just playing deception. And the illusions.
So someone can be seated in, I'll call them demonic places.
Yeah?
Have you ever heard of what they call a... Oh my God. There are people whose souls are in a sort of a prison.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the term. I'm trying to remember the term. It has skipped my... But someone's soul can be trapped.
Yeah. Of which the soul is, can be also fragmented and trapped in different spaces.
So in fragmentation, I just need a piece of the soul. Now, that's interesting because if we cut your body open... We won't see a spirit or a soul. So how does someone take something that is intangible?
Wow.
How does someone fragment something that is intangible? Because it's not really intangible. It actually has a substance.
Yeah. 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 It's just a different dimension.
And there are people who know how to connect to it.
You've mentioned before that certain experiences, you wake up and in the dream you're eating chicken and you wake up with oily lips. That wasn't just chicken. are tangibly involved.
Mm. And you see, the thing is, you see, the most interesting thing is this, that I can touch your body with my finger. Words can touch your soul.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then there's a way to touch your spirit.
Mm.
Because not all words are spirit.
Yes. So when Jesus says the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes, he was distinguishing his words from the words other people speak.
Wow. Rabbi, we have a question here.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked and said that when Christians die, do they automatically become part of the cloud of witnesses?
Okay. We're going to touch that with life after death. Eh?
Okay.
We're going to touch that with life after death.
Yeah.
You remind me. Because the next sessions we're going to do.
You also told me to remind you about the books.
Yes, it's, I've already touched them. I've been talking about the book of life.
Yes, and the now blotting out.
Yeah, you can be blotted out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are five books mentioned in scripture.
Mm.
And there are others as well. What does it say in the book of Daniel that books were opened? So there's the book of life, there's the book of the living, there's a book of tears. Okay, there's a book of rewards.
Yeah.
And I forget the other one. And the five books mentioned in scripture. So heaven is about books, eh? And if you think you're going to escape books. You're joking. And I'll explain to you. So maybe you tell me which you prefer, because I would like to talk about at a certain point maybe.
Yeah.
If not in this session, some other day.
Yeah.
The invisible side of what's happening in our life as we journey.
Mm.
What do angels do? What does God do? What does he observe?
And how are they interacting with us?
Yeah, how are they interacting with us? I don't know if that's important before you go to life after death. But we'll just go straight to life after death and we'll touch it some other time.
I believe it will be interesting.
Because when we talk about life after death,
we
have to talk about the near-death experiences. We're going to talk about reincarnation.
Mm.
We're going to talk about heaven and hell.
Mm.
We're going to talk about ghosts.
Mm. Those are the spirits that stay on the earth.
Yeah, I'm going to touch all that. Eh?
Yeah.
Though briefly, but I'll touch all that. So I don't know if we'll have time to touch also this.
Mm-hmm. We probably might have to come back to it, because then you have to deal with angels.
Yes.
Dealing with the spirit of God, spirits of men.
That's fellowship. A whole separate thing altogether. Yeah. So the next week, we'll touch life after death, and then maybe do 2-3 sessions. All
right.
Because I need time on all three.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. The banners of revelation flowing in here. We're trying so hard to stay, you know, not to digress. But we'll be continuing with this discussion. What happens when you die? But from the beginning, what happens even before you come to the earth? So the three stages: before you come to the earth, when you're on earth, and when you leave the earth. So I hope you had a great time. Please keep the comments coming in, the questions coming in, and we shall definitely address them. All right, blessings, and till next time, this is the RDM Radio Show. My heart, it beats for you, precious Jesus.